As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind, it's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
All things regarding renovation projects with either the FHA 203K home style renovation mortgage or the VA renovation loan product. In all cases, we are renovating 1 to 4 unit buildings or what will become 1 to 4 unit buildings. If you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear your comments and questions. You are what makes the show exciting, so feel free. If you've got a problem renovation project and you don't mind discussing it on live radio, please call in. If you want to do it privately, we have helped lots of people so far, and the initial call is absolutely free. Contact us at www.203k911.com. Next week, we will be talking about more of this nonprofit thing. The nonprofit is our topic for today in dealing with nonprofit organizations with renovation loans. From 1994 till about 1998, nonprofit clients were our biggest single customer. Lots of them. We did business with lots of them. I drove around particularly some neighborhoods where I saw a lot of battered houses, and lo and behold, in every area there was a local church, and sometimes that local church was pretty beat up itself. I would stop in and talk to the local pastor, and they would usually have me come back some evening during the week, and we would talk about renovation loans and how they could help create jobs in their neighborhood while fixing up homes in their neighborhood and providing low-cost housing. So those combinations are tremendous. Right now, the biggest problem we're having nationally is low-cost housing. The cost to have a home these days is just going out of sight. And believe it or not, that's still the American dream, is to own your own house. So with the nonprofits getting involved more and more, that is a big boon to getting those houses and making them affordable. Now, one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is how to apply and how to become a nonprofit approved by HUD. But more importantly, what does it do for the community and how does it help the nonprofit? Well, nonprofits can make a profit on a 203K. If they do, that's not a bad thing, but they are held to a 10% maximum profit. If you're buying a HUD foreclosure, nonprofits get the first choice of new product coming on the market, and they get a 50% discount. So if you see a new HUD home coming on the market, it's been foreclosed, and they've tried to sell it out there for, let's say, $300,000, the nonprofit can buy it for half of that, $150,000. Then they can fix it up, and because they're governed to only a 10% profit, that's about $35,000, $40,000. And I say 40 because they get to add in their costs and fees that associated with maintaining that property while they did own it. So now they have to turn it out and offer it for under $200,000. So lo and behold, you've just got a $300,000 property offered at $200,000, all fixed up. So that combination is tremendous. What else? The likelihood of the tradespeople being in that church or in that nonprofit area is a very distinct possibility. So we can use that to help get some jobs for the people right there in the area. So, getting on with our schedule for today, if you want to become a nonprofit organization as approved by HUD, the Federal Housing Administration, FHA, requires prospective nonprofit organizations to obtain approval to be placed on the HUD nonprofit roster in order to participate in any of these nonprofit programs. So, and if you'll send me an email to nonprofits at 203konline.com, that's nonprofits at 203konline.com, I will be happy to send you my notes from today's program. So you get that approval by HUD. I know of lots of them that are already approved. They can get started as soon as we can find them a lender. The biggest problem in the last, since 1998, has been finding a lender willing to work with a nonprofit. We had one, and they are one of the largest lenders in America, and apparently they got their hand slapped, and they're no longer doing it. They're not doing any renovation loans at all. So you got to look at your current handbook, which is the 4000.1 single family handbook. Interested nonprofit organizations must contact HUD by sending the email to the Resource Center, which is at answers@hud.gov. And the email must contain the following preliminary information: the organization's legal name and physical address of the main office, name, phone number, email address of the executive director, name, title, phone number, and email address for all staff members who will be requesting system access for the required application and ongoing reporting. Now, they're going to be checking your credit. And if your credit really is poor, you got a foreclosure yesterday, you may not want to be on the board at that time. And I've had several qualified nonprofits that had that same situation over the years, and those people resigned from the board and still remained active in their organization, just not on the board of directors. You want to be sure and include the effective date of the nonprofit organization's 501c3 tax-exempt status, as reflected in the IRS letter of determination. Nonprofit organizations' federal employer ID number, the FHA nonprofit programs for which the nonprofit organization is seeking approval, and the states where the activities will take place. So you want to be sure and tell them what program you're looking to get involved with, which is the FHA 203K, and then what states you're going to be involved in with the 203K. Typically, over the years, what we've found with the nonprofits is HUD will give you permission to purchase one property and watch your performance. So be careful. Be sure you've thought it out and you have a plan. And we're happy to do some help with you in that regard from our offices, both here in California and North Carolina, soon to be South Carolina. We're on both coasts, and we can help you put that package together for you and let you know what it is you're getting into. But some of the properties that we've done over the years, we had an 8-plex that we turned into a 4-plex. If you're going to keep these, the nonprofits can actually keep properties and create low-cost rental units. If they don't want to sell them off, there is some restrictions to that, and we'll get that into that in a few more minutes. We want to be sure that the nonprofit organization has 2 years of relevant housing experience within the last 5 years. Now, that can be difficult. If you're a nonprofit organization and you have no housing experience within the last 5 years, how are you going to prove that you had 2 years? So what we do is we find a partner for you, a nonprofit who's already approved on the HUD list that is willing to joint venture with you and be that qualifying partner that has the 2 years experience in relevant housing renovations. They're out there. HUD has a list of them on their website. You can search it by state. Find somebody in your state. Talk to them if you don't have that qualification. HUD's going to evaluate the preliminary information provided to ensure the application meets the baseline requirements before the applicant proceeds to the full application process. Applicants who provide acceptable preliminary information will be contacted by the HUD and provided instructions for accessing the nonprofit data management system, including a login ID and a temporary password. So this is how you're going to communicate with HUD down the road. Once they get the preliminary information, find it's acceptable, then the organization can proceed through the actual full application process. And a completed application refers to an application that satisfies the general application requirements. Sounds tough. It's not. It's just time-consuming. HUD approval can take between 60 and 90 days. It may be delayed or take longer if you turn in an incomplete application. So it's better to take your time and get the application completed. Be sure it's fully completed. If you would like us to review it, we'll do that at no extra charge. There's no fee for us helping you see that you've got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And if, just like FHA 203K consultants, you do have a recertification program. So we'll, you don't need to worry about that right now, particularly if you're not already certified. Anyway, the affordable housing program format, you know, it's important, and you need to the key with HUD whenever you're filling out forms is you want to answer the questions they're asking in the order they ask them. Okay, because a lot of this underwriting is done automatically. So they're looking for question number one to be able to correlate with answer number one. So it's not as good if you just turn around and give them all that information, but you do it in the wrong order. That says you can't follow instructions. That may seem menial to you, but if you can't follow instructions on a simple application, what makes you think you can do a 203K and get that completed? So it's important that you don't have any conflicts of interest. No person who is an employee, an officer, or elected or appointed official of the nonprofit agency, or who is in a position to participate in decision-making, is able to actually be out there and have a financial interest in the bit or benefit from the purchase of the property. In other words, you can't buy the property as an individual and sell it to your nonprofit. That would be a conflict of interest. You wouldn't want to anyway. You want to buy it from HUD, a HUD foreclosure that meets the criteria, and you can do it and get a 50% discount. You're not going to give a 50% discount and be part of that profit. You can't take any hidden seconds or silent seconds on the property. If you're taking money as an individual and you're on the board of that nonprofit, it will bite you. It will come back sooner or later. That's going to be found out, and you will go to jail. Now, I'm not implying all nonprofits are churches. They're not. There's a lot of 501c3 organizations out there that are not churches. But we found in our experience has been with lots of churches. Anyway, we've been on here for a few minutes. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with you. And remember, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, and we'll be right back.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now, and let's fix your problems.
Hey, this is Mike Young. We're back. If you want to be part of the program, again, 888-627-6008 to be part of the show. We're talking about nonprofits and getting into the 203K. You need to identify the area where you're going to be having your basis, where you're going to find these homes or units that you're going to turn into 1-4 unit properties. You could take a fourplex and turn it into a single-family house, or you can take a single-family house, turn it into a fourplex, as long as the zoning will allow it. Now, quite often, single-family is going to stay single-family zoning, but in many cases, you can pick up an eightplex and turn it into a fourplex. You just have to go to the zoning department and find out if they will allow that. One of our most profitable, if you will, changes was 8 studios that had been vacant for, 20 years. All the copper had been stolen out of the building, both plumbing and electrical wiring. It was gutted. There was no drywall in it. We picked that house up for the tax bill for our client, $2,500. The elderly woman that owned it, she just wanted out. She wanted to pay her taxes and not die, leaving a burden to her family. And she said, look, I just want to pay my taxes. I owe $2,500. I said, sold. If my client won't buy it, I'll buy it. So, of course, first client I called bought it. And that's in the days of where investors were allowed to purchase properties. Okay, one of the biggest things that we find with the nonprofits getting into 203K is you have to have a purpose. What is the purpose regarding your participation in the FHA program? In other words, what is it you do with your nonprofit that is your primary goal? And it cannot be to renovate housing. It's got to have a higher calling, typically. And maybe it can do it just for renovating housing and providing low-cost housing. But you cannot start a nonprofit organization with the sole purpose of doing 203Ks. That is not allowed. You're going to have to provide documentation at some point of your agency's current funding and your long-term stability of these funding sources. So however you make your money now, you're going to have to document that. They are not looking to take and launder money into a nonprofit and help you do that. So be careful. make sure everything is above board when you go there, and make your application. How will low and moderate income people benefit from your program? How do you plan to transition families and individuals into homeownership in the communities you serve? So you could easily create a program where you put low and moderate income people into a rental situation, say of a single family house that you were able to get at 50% discount, and let them work on cleaning up their credit and let them purchase that house 2-3 years down the road once their credit has been corrected. Then you got to know, how will your program be designed to pass along to low-income persons the savings your nonprofit agency is going to receive from the discounted purchase of a HUD-owned property? How will you ensure the payments are affordable to first-time homebuyers? These are questions that are going to be asked of you, and you need to create an outline, create the answers to all these questions. I recommend showing the question and the answer right with it. What type of homeownership counseling will be provided to prospective homebuyers, if any? It is very easy to have a seminar open to the public for first-time homebuyers. And first-time homebuyer under the HUD guideline is anyone who hasn't owned a home in 3 years. So you're a first-time homebuyer as far as we're concerned. If you had a divorce yesterday and your spouse was awarded the house that they had, that you had, you're a first-time homebuyer today, even though you lost a house and you owned it yesterday, but you lost it in a divorce, you're automatically locked in as a first-time homebuyer. And as first-time homebuyers, a lot of seminars go on every week throughout the country. If you need to find one in your area, I'm sure it's easy to do. Just call a local FHA lender and ask them if they've got one coming up. If they do, then sign up for it. What you're going to learn there is you're going to learn what it takes to be credit worthy. What is it going to take for you to be ready to purchase? I had a lender not too long ago tell me that he had 105 borrowers that have been pre-qualified and currently qualified to purchase houses, and yet he didn't have any houses. Well, they're there. You just don't always see them. You're going to have to look and keep your eyes open. And if you're a nonprofit, I recommend just start circling the blocks around your nonprofit headquarters and look for residential properties in a distressed state. They're going to be there. You have to also identify all the current properties your agency owns or has previously owned within the last 3 years. Rehabilitated, include approximate cost of the rehabilitation. They want to know exactly that you've done this before, and if you haven't done it before, you're going to need to partner with somebody who has, and they will be kind of running the show and working with you hand in hand to get you tuned in so that you can do the next one on your own. Quite often, you'll do one once you get the chance to do it on your own and complete it from start to finish, and then HUD will usually turn you loose on 2 or 3. And once those are completed and either rented out or sold off, then you can go to 5. After 5 successful ones, 5 more successful ones, then you are usually turned loose and you qualify to do your own thing. And you're no longer having to do with a partner, and you're not being scrutinized quite as much as you would have been otherwise. So list the number of units your nonprofit agency expects to purchase and the name of the cities and counties where you're going to purchase these properties. Provide a timeline for purchasing. So this is where you have to get some realistic numbers. You can't just say, well, we're looking to get a house a month for this year. Well, how is that going to work? How is that going to fly? You need to explain to HUD with your application letter exactly how many days is it going to take for each one? And if you think you're going to pick up a house that needs major renovation and HUD gives you 6 months to fix it, it's probably going to take you 7 or 8 in reality. So you want to be sure and be realistic with your numbers. I know here in California, we've had tremendous fires. Lots of homes were damaged. What we're seeing because of it is all the resources are gone. All the resources are gone. What I mean by that is material costs are going out of this site, out of sight. They're going crazy. What we used to buy a year ago for $20 is now costing $30 and $40. Lumber is going out of sight because there's such a demand for it. So the people who can pay the higher price get it. Same thing with labor. I have a client in Northern California who says, I go to Napa every day now, Napa County, Sonoma County, where the fires were. And I got a ton of work, but there's no work in my neighborhood. These people are sucking out all of the resources and whatever those resources may be. So the guy's got plenty of work. It's just, you know, 100 miles away from where he would like to be. So you're going to also identify what you intend to provide, a lease option program or information relative to the manner in which the rent is collected and applied. Do you know that if you rent to a prospective buyer and that buyer pays more than market rent, so let's say market rent is $1,000, but they can afford to pay you $1,200, that extra $200 can be labeled as part of their future down payment. So $200 a month, 12 months, $2,400 a year. So they do that for 2 years or 3 years, they've got their 3.5% down payment. And you have it in your hands already. And you could then turn that house over to them if that was your plan. So just you're going to have to figure out exactly what that's going to do, how the plan's going to work, and then you're going to have to administrate it. So the administration, and you're going to have to prove that you're within a certain number of miles radius from your relevant office. So if you only have one office that's in California, you are not going to be doing renovation projects in Nevada, typically, unless it's within 200 miles. You're not definitely going to do renovations in Texas or Connecticut or other states where it's just not reasonable for anyone to expect that you could do that. Now, there are some other restrictions. HUD has always had what they call the 7-unit limitation. Okay, so if you're looking to buy fourplexes and sell them down the road to a tenant who is going to live in one and rent the other three out, you can only buy one fourplex in an area, and they figured that that's going to be about a 2-block area. The nonprofit agency will never own more than 10% of the dwelling units in a designated redevelopment area. So if they designated a redevelopment area or in your area and there's 500 houses there, you cannot ever own more than 50 of them. If there's only 50 houses, and you're not, then that's only 5 houses you can have in that area. So if you're looking to buy 2 fourplexes side by side, and it makes good sense to do that, then you're going to have to get special approval, and HUD is just not giving that special approval. They're trying to maintain the guideline as close as possible as it was intended. So you're going to have to really think about how you're going to do these. And it does make sense for managing these houses or fourplexes that you do it in such a way that it maintains some proximity to your main offices. Now, if you're looking to purchase a fourplex and sell it off in 2 or 3 years to a tenant who's living in there, you could be setting them up for retirement at the same time. If they can afford to pay the rent on a one unit in a fourplex, chances are in 3 or 4 years, they could afford to buy the fourplex and they get to count the rent from all four units as income, even though they're living in one. They take 75% of that figure and add that to their income. So when qualifying for these loans, that if they can qualify for a single family house, it is very likely that they can qualify for a 2, 3, 4 unit building because they get that extra income from those units. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you very shortly, and we appreciate it if you would call in, be part of the program. You can call us at 888-627-6008. Stick around, and we'll be right back.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, this is Mike Young back with you. In any case, if you'd like to be part of the show, feel free to call us at 888-627-6008 and join in the conversation. HUD has some nonprofit approval checklist that they like you to run through, make sure you got all your ducks in a row before you start filling out your application. They want you to know, too, that transitional housing is not acceptable under the single-family program. Though they call it a single-family program, a fourplex is four single-family living areas. So 1 to 4 units is what it is, and it's always after the renovation takes place. We had a property in Richmond, California years ago, and it was a 5-unit building, but they could not keep it occupied. Finally, somebody said, hey, let's do a 203K on it, turn it into a fourplex. And that was part of the problem. The units were too small. And by making it, I think they made it a 3-unit building and made each of the units 2 bedrooms instead of studios. So these are the kind of things that you can do under the 203K program with nonprofits. We call these the HUD Homes Program. So if you want to be to purchase HUD Homes, then you must submit the items requested below. And there's like 21 items. But they're not difficult. The information is readily available to you. You just have to take the time and fill it out. Once you do that and you're approved, you don't have to do that for the next house. You're now on the list. You're approved. So, yes, it's a little cumbersome getting started, but once you're in, you're in. And there's no headaches going forward. So some of those things, I'm not going to read all 21 of these items, but some of the questions are simply your name of your organization and address, contact person, stuff like that. So it's all – it's easy to do. You're going to have to get your car articles of incorporation or organization and bylaws. They got to be sure that your bylaws allow you to do what you're wanting to do. So if they don't, you need to get that straightened out and add it to your articles, so you do qualify when it comes down to it. You're going to need a list of all your board members, names, board positions, length of term on the board, and when the term expires, because these board members are probably going to need to qualify as borrowers at some point, and that's why they want to do a credit check on each and every one of them. A list of all principal staff. Staff experience does not relieve the nonprofit entity of the required 2 years organizational experience. So you want to be sure that you don't put five new people on the board today that just started today, and because they have good credit, that's not going to help you. They need to be on the board for a little while. This can't be a plan, if you will, to get into housing and buy houses at 50% discount that you just decided to do today. You're going to need resolutions, delegating certain people have signature authority, and evidence that the administrative capability of the applicant is to develop and carry out the proposed ownership programs. So you're going to have an ownership program. What are you doing with these houses? You plan just to buy them, fix them up, and then what? You can keep them as rentals. You can sell them off as affordable housing. Remember, you're governed to no more than 10% profit, but that 10% profit, let's say you purchase a $300,000 house for $150,000, and then you designate Bill over here to go out and look at that house and be sure there's nobody vandalizing it and that the contractor's showing up to work every day. And you can put a fee in there for Bill to do that, and that adds to your basis. So you're going to get reimbursed all of that money upon the sale. I know years ago I bought a house. This young lady was trying to buy a house, and she qualified for X number of dollars. But by the time HUD put all of their, or the lender rather, put all of their costs and fees into the loan, we found out that she was overextended, and there's no way that she could qualify to purchase that home with her current credit standing. She could if it was $10,000 less. So what I ended up doing was buying the house. I asked her, I said, look, I am not governed by HUD's minimum property standards as an individual, so I can turn that over, buy that house, fix it up, and do all of these things. I won't do that, that, and the other thing, and thereby sell it to you for what you can afford. If you're interested, I'm happy to do that for you. And we bought that house. We were fixing it up. It was a fire-gutted house, and we were about, I guess, 60 or 70% finished when the young lady brought her mother by to see the house. And when she did, she said, wow, why are you helping my 20-year-old daughter buy this house? And I said, well, because she needed help, and I love to help people. But turns out that the mother didn't like the idea of an old white man buying a 20-year-old black lady her first house, or helping her put it into her home ownership. So they asked if I could possibly get out of that deal, if they could get out of the deal. And I said, sure. And I had them sign a piece of paper relieving me. But I said, I'd like you to listen to this conversation before you leave. And I called my realtor. And I said, look, we've decided to put this house on the market, and we're going to keep it, and we're going to sell it off ourselves. What do you think we should list it for? Now, I had sold it to them for $135,000 because that's all she could qualify for. And my realtor said, let's list it at $166,000. And I said, great. I can go ahead and list it for $166,000, and let's see what happens. Well, 2 days later, I got a firm offer at $185,000. So when the people got there, made their offer, I said, look, we're only asking $166,000. why are you offering 185? And we were told that there's such a small amount of inventory, and we've put offers in on 5 houses and been overbid. I said, nobody else is bidding against you. If you want it for 166, it's yours. Sign the contract at 166. And they said, no, we don't want anybody coming to you later tonight. I said, no, that doesn't happen. I'm going to sign the contract now. It's yours at 166. They would not do it. They demanded I take 185. I said, okay. And they said, well, you seem to be pushing us back to the 166. Can you give us a new garage door? And I said, sure. We'll throw a for 186 and we'll put in a brand new garage door, roll up with an automatic door opener. And they were just ecstatic. I didn't think it would appraise at that, being an appraiser at that time. I just didn't think that was going to appraise, but the appraisers brought it in at value at the 185 and shocked me for sure. And my realtor, a realtor liked it because he got his 6% of a bigger, I won't lie to you, he got 5%. That's all I pay. But he got 5% of his commission. He got both sides of it. So he came out of there better off. And I sent a thank you note to the other buyer and her mother and explained to her that the first offer came in at 185 and that she would have had that house at 135. But it's just crazy what people think in their minds that there are not good Christian people around that are here sometimes to help and not just get rich on somebody. I retired in 1987 the first time. So money is not everything. It's a lot better than nothing, that's for sure. Anyway, getting back to the criteria that you're going to have to fill out. We've already got in a list of the principal staff, your organization's federal ID number, evidence that the administrative capability of the applicant to develop and carry out the proposed programs is reasonable, and the time frames that you think you can renovate these houses. And I'll tell you right now, if you're renovating a house and you think you can do it in 3 months, put down 6. The program allows up to 6 months and an extension if you have to have it. But don't say 30 days. If it's going to take 30 days, great. Be done with it. But don't say that. In fact, you need to get in there and say 90 days. Triple what you think it'll be because there's anything and everything that can go wrong. Building inspection departments. A couple of years ago, San Jose put out a full-page ad, as I recall, and apologized for letting their staff go down to the point where it was taking 12, 15 weeks just to get a permit on a house. Well, they were protecting their own jobs. Why should we hire somebody and then find out that we don't really need them and we're all sitting around looking at each other? So instead, they did just the opposite. They didn't hire anybody. And they pushed their work back 12, 15 weeks. And it was not fair to the people buying houses and renovating them. You want to be sure that you have all the organizational resolutions, signature approvals. You got to find out who's going to be signing the draw request when the contractor's ready to get paid. As the owner, somebody needs to sign both the contract to purchase and the draw inspections. So we got to have all that identified upfront in advance and have all the necessary resolutions to accomplish that. Any other business partners that you have, real estate agents may belong to your nonprofit. So you got to identify that because there could be some identity of interest issues if you don't. HUD doesn't like the idea that you don't tell them what's going on. Personally, as a FHA 203K consultant, I don't like it either. If you're doing something that's fraudulent in the slightest realm of possibility, and you bring in me into it as a consultant and making me an unwilling participant in your fraud, that can bite both of us. And I guarantee you, sitting in prison, I won't be your best friend. So it's better if you're going to be the real estate agent or lender and you're involved somehow with this nonprofit, identify it, disclose it, let sure everybody knows it, so that it's not a shock or surprise to anybody and you're being fully upfront and above board. Okay, you're going to have a copy of your nonprofit agency's most recent approval letter by the HUD office. Describe your housing program. What is it you're actually going to be doing? And how do you plan to do it? In a narrative format. So, boy, time is just flying today. I'm going to take a break again, our last break for today, and see if we can't wrap this up in the next 15 minutes. So hang in there. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-267. Hell, let's back that up. Let's try 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back after this break.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young with Love My Renovation Project. And I know you don't love every one of them. Some of them are a nightmare, but in reality, you're going to have 100 good ones and one bad one, maybe two bad ones. 1-2% is typical. I had a brand new guy just got into his first 203K. He was a nonprofit, and it was a nightmare for him. And I said, look, you're going to have 1-2 out of 100 that are nightmares. Don't worry about it. You just happen to get yours out of the gate. And he took my word for that, and we did a second one, and it just was so smooth. And a third one and the fourth one, I think he ended up doing about 60 or 70 of them over a 5-year period. And that is the way it is. It's just, most of these are extremely smooth and there's no issues, no problems. Once in a while, you'll run into one that is just a minor nightmare. Just grin and bear it, recognize that this happens now and again, and just don't fret. Just let it happen. Go with the flow. We'll get through it. Now, back to what we were talking about, nonprofits and the 203K. So, we got to have copies. Oh, let's see. We don't want to get there. No profit. I'm just glancing over some of the requirement. If you're going to be a nonprofit seeking approval to purchase HUD homes, then they're going to need your completed IRS Form W-9 request for employer identification number. and so forth. And you want to get that done because you want to be able to, it's required for you to bid on REO properties. REO properties. When you call somebody and you're asking them about foreclosures, right away they know you don't know what you're talking about. I can't tell you how many times I've told young investors, upstarts, when you go to the title company, be sure and let them know you're an investor and you don't want to be charged any of those garbage fees. And inadvertently, they'll say, what is a garbage fee? At that point, you get charged the garbage fees. They just make you think you didn't. So you can do that with REOs, real estate owned. We, as owners of large quantities of real estate, we call them REOs versus foreclosures. Nobody likes the word foreclosure any less than the people that own those properties. They're going to require the bank, excuse me, HUD is going to require photographs of your facility and floor plans just to ensure that you do have a brick and mortar place to work out of. If you're going to be approved to do non, if your nonprofit is going to be approved to operate a lease purchase program, copies of that lease with an option to buy form that you're going to use needs to be submitted with your application. Let's look at that a little bit. I used to have over 300 rental units, 300 headaches a month. No, not all of them, but quite often at the end of the month when half a dozen of them didn't save the money up to pay the rent, then you started the eviction process. Not that you wanted to, but it gives them 30 days. They know that they can't get into, you can't get them into court that quick. So we go into court, and the first time you're hearing about it is they say, well, I had a broken window in the bathroom and he never fixed it. And the judge looks at the landlord and says, well, is that true? And I said, well, this is the first I've heard about it. They haven't told me there's a broken window. As a landlord, you need to know some things. So we're going to be creating a landlord seminar, if you would, and we'll record it so that you can take it at your leisure, self-taught type thing down the road. But I can't tell you how many times it is so aggravating to be in that court to find out that you're they're making an excuse that makes you, the landlord, look bad when in fact you weren't, and you keep these things in tip-top shape. So what you do is what we found out is that once we had a revision to our lease, we found out that all of those lawsuits ended. So if you decide to be a landlord, let us know and we'll be happy to share that little change in our lease that kept us out of court. Truly, we were not in court ever after that change in the rental agreement. We recommend that if you're getting into this business and you're new, that you make that change going in with your first agreement. So you're going to have to prove, by the way, that you have had 2 years of consecutive years out of five in the housing development experience. You got to have, we have to know that, or HUD has to know that you have the ability to hire people, that you have the ability to find a good contractor and get him out there and be sure that he's showing up to work every day. It is not ever the consultant's job to call your contractor and say, hey, get out here and you're not working on the job. What's going on? It's not our job. It's your job. As a owner of the property, it is your job to make sure the contractor shows up to work every day. So you're going to have to monitor that. Let's see, you've got to recertify periodically. I don't know how much that or how often that is, but periodically you will have to recertify as a nonprofit entity. We have a nonprofit financial capacity worksheet that will help you. Just send me an email. I'll be happy to send that to you. Then you have some record keeping for on-site review of the nonprofit. So when you do 203Ks, you're going to be using a consultant, most likely, an FHA 203K consultant like myself or our team. You're going to have to keep on file your HUD-1 form. That's where it's got all of the charges and fees that you paid, because HUD inspectors are going to come around periodically and they're going to ask to see this information. So you're going to have any kind of land use restrictions, addendums, income verification of the purchaser. Those are all the things that we're talking about now, income verification on the purchaser who bought from the nonprofit. So if you've got this house sold and you're going to be flipping it effectively to a first-time home buyer, that's fine. You just have to keep records of who you're paying and so forth to manage the property during the course of construction, because all that's going to go into your sales price. Any appraisal reports if the property was purchased as a 203K or financed under the 203B or other FHA insurance funds. You can buy a HUD foreclosure, get your 50% discount, and sell it as a 203B. In other words, sell it if it doesn't need any work. Now, chances are they've identified properties that are 203K eligible, and what that means is you're going to need a 203K to do this one because it needs a lot of work. But many of those homes are ready to live in or soon could be. And a 203B has what they call a $5,000 renovation holdback, where they allow up to $5,000 worth of work to happen, and they just don't turn that money over. They keep it in escrow until the work gets done. But you're going to have to keep all your rehab documents in a folder. You might as well get the bookkeeping down right from the get-go. You're going to have a work write-up and contractor estimate of repair costs, all your draw requests, your lien waivers. Now, a draw request and a lien waiver, change orders, they're all going to be in the package with each draw request. Any inspection of repairs by the nonprofit. So as you're doing that renovation of a property, you're going to have a person that you designate to go out and periodically check on that property to be sure that everything is going to happen just like it should. Any invoices that you have from the contractors, I recommend getting a large binder and just punching holes in it and keeping everything in that binder chronologically. So as they happen, you're putting it in the front of that binder. So you're going to have the most recent information at the front of that binder. Copies of payments to contractors. You can make a copy of that check. You could, if it's a big check and it's cleared the bank, you can punch three holes in it and stick it in there, or you can put it in a little sleeve. And any final release notices, in other words, your certificate of occupancy. Once you determine that that house is ready to sell and is sold, you're going to have all this stuff in a binder. And when HUD comes by to look, they're going to say, hey, let's see that binder. If the property is going to be leased under an approved lease purchase program, they're going to also want to see any copies of that executed lease. Do you know that the tenant always loses his copy? Always. That's just something they're supposed to do. I'm laughing. It's tongue in cheek. But we've got a, they're going to lose it. So you might as well keep yours where you can get to it and give them a copy of it when they do request it. Anyway, I think we've just about run out of time. If you have any questions for us, feel free to email them to nonprofits@203konline.com. If you're having a problem with a 203K or any renovation project you're working on and you need help with it, feel free to call us. The first call is absolutely free, and it may be a dozen calls free. We just don't know until we see what your problem is and how we can help you. And you can call us at 800-207. Why did I say that? It's 877-207-6565. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.